I have in the studio, Missy Higgins. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks.
How is your ukulele holder that you seem to have growing out of you at the moment?
That pregnant belly.
Your pregnant belly,
it's
yes.
It's a really good ukulele holder.
I saw that.
And just in general, I was thinking, oh, my stomach's going to grow so much over the course of this tour.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be able to play guitar. It's going to be like, you know, 2 feet away from me. But it's actually awesome because it's like this ledge where the guitar's now kind of angled upwards and I can see what I'm doing for the first time.
It's almost like a pedal steel guitar now.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
That's great. That's a you know, an incentive if people are thinking of...
I highly recommend it. For any budding guitar players.
Just get pregnant, having trouble seeing the notes.
Yep.
How has the tour? You're about halfway through the Oz tour now. Is it going well?
Yeah, it's been going really great. I've got a whole new band together and we've been playing with a string quartet for a lot of the major city shows. So it's beautiful being able to play songs from the new album with a whole string section. And I've got lots of projections going up on the back of the stage from footage from my childhood.
Yes,
and
I saw that. It's beautifully indulgent that you can just go, hey, I'm going to play these covers, which obviously are songs that meant a lot to you throughout your life. And here's me on stage in a School Musical.
yeah, exactly. Just in case you thought this wasn't about me for a second, here's some shots of me. Well, because I've with my new album, I've written this book to go with it. So In the live show, I tell a lot of the stories from that book. So a lot of those stories are about my childhood growing up, singing jazz in my brother's jazz band or, you know, cutting all my hair off for the first time or something like that. So they're all kind of – it's footage that goes with those stories.
And there's you in Jason's Technicolor Dreamcoat at some point.
Jason played...
Jason Donovan did, yes.
He played Joseph. I'm sure he'd love it if it was called Jason's Technicolor Dreamcoat. I was 12 or 13 at the time, I think, and I was lucky enough to be cast as Isaac, brother Isaac. My costume was a Hessian sack, but it was my first experience with performing live and having a microphone. I remember really specifically the feel of that microphone in my hand and how awesome it felt.
That was it.
And my brother saw me sing then for the first time and he asked me to sing in his jazz band from then on. So I started singing in all these jazz clubs around Melbourne.
And now, not that you've ever had any real problem with it, in between song banter is absolutely sorted because you just read straight out of the book.
Yeah.
After every song, there it is.
It's been slightly strange though because I normally tell stories during my show, but this time it's been a little bit more planned.
You have to, because this is this song. I need to tell this story now.
Yeah. I was really nervous about it because I'm like, I just don't do scripted. So it's been this kind of mixture of knowing what I'm going to say but absolutely having no idea of how I'm going to say it or what tangents I'm going to go on.
Or whether at some point you're going to be called Missy Mint Tea, apparently, which happened.
Oh, yeah. I had a fan make me a tea and name it after me.
Oh.
They've got a tea business and she gave me a packet of Missy Mint Tea after a show one day.
that's pretty good.
Just one of the perks of the job.
That's one of the perks. Well, Adelphi and Abigail did tweet and they're going to see you play in Adelaide. Today they got a couple of rescue kittens and named one Missy and one Higgins.
Aww.
So
Are they the tea ladies?
No, they're not the tea ladies. I believe the tea ladies are separate.
Right.
So you've got your tea and now you've got two rescue kittens as well.
Oh, cute. That's I've always nice. Wanted to put... a basket of kittens on my rider or do what Mariah Carey does and get a basket of puppies backstage.
Does she get them? Does Mariah get them?
I don't know. It may be a rumour, but I'm like, if that wasn't wrong for so many reasons,
I
would absolutely love that.
Yes, one day. Well, if you can, the show, there's still a whole bunch of shows to go, including Chatswood tonight. If you've got a basket of puppies and you're heading to Chatswood tonight and you can somehow do it in an ethical and lovely way, let us know.
Please bring him along.
Oh, Triple J, I'm going to play one of my favourite songs from Oz, the covers record. This is Back to the Wall. The Divinyls are absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
And your version is wonderful. I remember this is like on one of my very first ever compilation cassettes, like a Hits Now 88 or whatever. This song was on it. And this is Back to the Wall by Missy Higgins on Triple J.
Oh.
On Triple J, Missy Higgins from the album Oz, that is Back to the Wall. Missy Higgins in the studio, and that, of course, originally a Divinyl song. What an amazing tune.
Chrissy. It's so good. Mark McCondray can really play those guitar riffs.
which you just had to just take it on there on the right hand on the piano.
Yep.
Give it a go.
Piano-ified.
That, see, that takes me back to, as I was saying, like sort of, you know, Hits Now 88 or whatever it was that when I first had that on a cassette. And you've written a book about how these songs and what they mean to you. What's that song? Where did that song fit in the life of Missy Higgins?
I think Chrissy Amphlett was, I mean, she played such an important role, mm-hmm. you know, paving the way for so many female Australian front women. Yeah. So, I think growing up and being able to see her on the TV and in the magazines and hear her on the radio, she was such an inspiration for anyone who kind of wanted to be an individual and wanted to kind of carve out their own path. And for me, I think I made this decision to cut off all my hair when I recorded my first album, and that was a conscious decision to kind of separate myself from everyone else and try and get noticed, I guess, in a way. And I remember thinking that Chrissy was this really strong kind of force. She did it in a very different way, like, you know, she was overtly sexual and really kind of out there and strong-minded in a different way. But yeah, I think the thing for me was having a role model that was just doing it her own way.
Yeah, and letting you know that it's okay to look different. You haven't got to fit in, you haven't got to try and sort of do what else is doing.
And not compromise. And you got the feeling with her that she didn't have these men in suits, you know, behind the curtain controlling her every move.
She was in the suit.
Yeah, she was absolutely. Exactly. Yeah, with a whip in her hand. Oh, a lot of the time.
Excellent, excellent. And now there would be people who would be seeing you doing exactly what you want to do and finding you a similar influence and an inspiration.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I would like to think
They're thinking, oh, if only I'd been Isaac in Joseph's Technicolor Dreamcoat when I was at school or whatever. You get to, I mean, you get these images up on stage, you've got the book and people learn about how these songs, what these songs mean to you. There's one song on their album which is one of my favourite songs. And you only by Something for Kays. And you have a connection to Paul Dempsey, which you confess to in the book.
Yeah. Bit of an embarrassing confession. I wrote him a fan letter when I was in year 12. I think it was just before I won Triple J Unearthed, actually. And it was really gushy. It was like, Paul, your lyrics just, that it's, you're the first person that's ever understood me and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then
you wouldn't be the only person that's written that to Paul Dempsey.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what was in it, but it was really gushy because that album Echolalia was like an absolute lifeline for me when I was in my final year of high school. And then soon after that, I got sent to East Timor on the Triple J Tour de Force over there.
Okay.
With Killing Heidi, Groove Terminator.
Oh, to play for the troops who are doing the peacekeeping stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And Paul Dempsey from Something for Kate was on that too. So I was kind of freaking out going, oh my God, I'm going to get to meet him.
Where was it? Had you released The Sound of White? Was this before then?
No, this was before. This was as soon as I finished high school. Wow. So I won Unearthed.
Congratulations. You get to go to the East Timor now.
Yeah, with your favourite songwriter ever. And over the course of that trip, you know, we all kind of became comrades and had the most amazing experience. And I realised that he was just a normal guy by the end of it, which is a really good lesson to learn. But I've never quite gotten over the embarrassment of having written Paul Dempsey.
Does he know? Have you spoken to him about it?
Do you know, I just emailed him like a week ago because I was like, this has got to get out in the open. Paul, do you remember that letter? Do you still have it?
They've just released their 20th year anthology book. As a matter of fact, I got it in the mail the other day. I'll have to flick through and see if there is a reprint of that letter anywhere in through the book.
No, he said it was actually on email, and he said, I'm afraid I don't have emails that far back. He said, I don't remember it, although I would have read it because, you know.
I'll just, should we talk to ASIO about getting that email? I'm sure if anyone could do it, hey ASIO, dear Paul Dempsey from Missy Higgins, that's the keywords, look it up for us.
It has to exist somewhere out there in the ether.
Hey, I've got Missy Higgins in the studio. We'll chat a little bit more and let us know if you're heading along Chatswood tonight at the concourse. In the studio, Missy Higgins. I've got to tell you, Missy, the original version of Shark Fin Blues by The Drones, one of my favourite songs of all time, and your version does the same tingly thing.
Oh, really? I was getting scared when you said
I was getting scared when I read that you'd covered it, which is fair enough, because it's one of, like, the most difficult songs, I've got to say.
The Drones have a lot of very passionate fans too, I was like, you know, there could be a lot of people that don't like this.
But yeah, I got, and you and you did it. You talked to Gareth when you were doing it, like to get lyrics and stuff, or how, like because the original one you cannot work out the lyrics.
No, I googled the lyrics, which turned out to be a mistake because I got most of the lyrics right except one. There's one word, Fink Dandy. I say Fink Daddy. But I emailed Gareth afterwards and sent him the recording, and he loved it. He thought it was awesome. He said the drummer was the original drummer was really offended that I left out his part. But apart from that, he said, "You know what? Daddy makes just as much sense as Dandy. Don't worry about it."
Yeah, and you do have some awesome senior citizens dancing in the video clip.
I do. So, yeah, sure covered in tats too. Yeah,
that's right. They looked rad. Were they real tattoos?
No, that took about 3.5 hours to paint on them. That was such an awesome old couple, though.
That was a very cool video clip. And people are stoked that you are taking this around Australia. Sherry can't wait to see you at Anita's Theatre this Thursday in Wollongong in Thirroul.
Thanks,
Christine
Sherry.
And Phil said in Lismore, the best show we've seen for years.
Sweet. Is it the only show you've seen in years?
How many people come to Lismore? Not new, actually, a few people come to Lismore. It's close to everything. They can get to Ballina and to
It's on the London. Way.
That's right. It is on the way. Everything's on the way when you think about it. And Jenny from Warragul, we were talking about a couple of kittens named Missy and Higgins, and you have a tea named after yourself. Jenny from Warragul has a rescue Murray darling python that she called Hissy Miggins.
Oh, that's good. Like it.
Very good. They used to hiss.
I have been called Hissy Miggins before, actually.
I seem to remember you being called Pissy Higgins once, but that was probably back in the very early 2000s when you mentioned once.
All manner of names.
Yeah, exactly.
Missing Hinges is that's my alter ego, actually.
When does Missing Hinges come out?
Well, my partner has this covers band called the Cable Bitches, and we all dress up in like full-on 80s gear.
This is in Broome, Cable Beach style.
Yep, exactly. And occasionally I come on as a special guest as Hissing
Missing Hinges. That is good.
Either way. And I wear a wig and, you know, snakeskin spandex and jump around like a lunatic. And I'm happier than I ever am doing anything else.
Well, you have a few shows left here. Will Missing Hinges make an appearance maybe at Queen's Park Theatre in Geraldton, or maybe Mandurah Performing Arts Centre or Regent Theatre, Melbourne?
I'm not sure. Well, I'm pregnant now, so I can't get as drunk as it usually takes for me to turn
I would imagine.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you just have to deal with just Missy Higgins at these shows, as well as legend people like Dustin Tebbett's going to be on them as well.
Yeah. And Jarek Bischoff.
People are loving Jarek Bischoff.
He is amazing. If you guys can get down early enough to see Jarek open the show. He does his crazy stuff with a loop pedal and his bass, and he did all the string arrangements for my album and co-produced it with me. So super talented guy.
And he can keep an eye on the string sections when they're there at the shows to make
sure
they're doing right.
He does all his conducting while he plays his bass too.
good. Now, it's Mental Health Week. All this week on Triple J we're talking about mental health, as all of the ABC is. Now, you are one of the ambassadors for Mental Health Week.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also someone that you were on antidepressants as young as in high school.
Yeah, my final year of high school, I think it was. I had a bit of a breakdown and was hospitalized for about a week and sent home because I was at boarding school. And it was a pretty full-on time, and I ended up on medication for a while, and it really helped me actually get out of a really rough spot.
Is it weird that, I guess, is there a stigma associated with being on antidepressants and being around, you know, your peer group at school?
Yeah, I think, well, I kind of kept it to myself, which probably means that there was a stigma. There definitely still is a stigma attached to antidepressants. But I don't know. I think it really helped me survive in a way. And, you know, they say that you should do therapy alongside it, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not just dependent on the drug. You're actually kind of helping yourself out of a hole at the same time.
Of course.
And I think, I think each to their own, but for me it was a really important step.
And how has music been affected, or has music been affected, or has music been affecting in mental health issues?
For me personally?
Yeah, just for
I
you.
I think for me it was definitely a sort of lifeline in itself. In high school I started just going to the music room at the school by myself and just playing piano over and over, and finding a way to express myself was so important back then. You know, I could write in my diary, but somehow doing it through music just felt it felt like I was communicating it to the world, because then I'd play it at, you know, in concerts and whatever.
Because you were already, you know, a lot of people knew about you at this age as well.
No, not in high school.
Okay.
Well, I won Unearthed in year 12.
All right.
And before
that,
nobody knew about me.
No, all right, fine.
Apart from the, you know, the six people that came to my gigs with my brother's jazz band.
But those people knew about me, yes, the jazz band.
Yeah. But no, music was so important for me. And it is for so many kids, not just kids, people in general. Yeah. Creativity is a great way to get the complicated stuff out of your head and out into the open.
Do you feel and remember those things when you go back to songs that were written back then?
Yeah. I mean, I still go through really rough patches and music is one of the things that helps me out of them every time, for sure.
I know when you had your writer's block before the old Razzle Dazzle, there was a time, in fact, I think then was when you were thinking about the covers album as a way of sort of shaking your brain loose of all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Before the old Razzle Dazzle, my last album, I had, it was just years and years of just almost literally banging my head up against a wall trying to write songs.
Yeah.
And in the end, I ended up writing the old Razzle Dazzle, but after a really hard period of just wondering what the hell I'm going to do with my life if it's not music.
Mm.
And and I had the idea for this covers album then because I thought, well, if I can't write, I still want to be creative and I still want to be working. But then that went away and then I decided to do it this time, not because I'm creatively blocked this time, but
because you already had the
fun.
It's almost like you tricked your brain by going, all right, we're doing covers now. And then they thought, all right, then we haven't got to worry about it. And then the actual song, the new songs came out.
Yeah. I mean, I actually tricked my brain by saying I'm quitting music. And I sat my manager down and I just said, I can't do this anymore. I have no choice. The songs aren't in me. So I walked away from music and went to uni for a while and blah, blah, blah. And, and then I realized that I just nothing is as good as music.
It's true. So if people are listening and are in year 12 and there's a, I mean, obviously any advice is only going to work for the individual person, but is there something sort of that you could say to people like that are hitting a bit of a rough patch? Year 12's coming up, there's exams.
Man, like year 11 and 12 are so rough on kids. Like I remember there were so many kids that were having breakdowns and really not coping with the amount of pressure that the school was putting on them and their parents were putting on top of them. There's this mentality in school that, you know, your final marks mean everything, which is so not the case. Like,
when was the last time you looked at your TER?
Yeah, yeah. And there is so, especially these days, there are so many jobs that you don't need a good TER score for. You don't even need to go to uni for. You know, you just get out there into the real world, and it's awesome. As soon as you're free, you know, you realize how unimportant that was. Not saying you shouldn't try.
No, yeah, stay in school. I just heard a whole bunch of people just living.
Yeah, I'm going to be hated by every parent across Australia now. But don't worry, it's not everything.
There you go. And you will see Missy Higgins tonight on telly chatting to Felicity Ward on ABC2 at 8:30 on Felicity's Mental Mission, which is a whole bunch more stuff about mental health.
Yeah, yeah. That was great. She's going around Australia talking to people who've had experiences with mental health, and it's going to be a good program.
And you are going to be on stage this Friday with Eddie Perfect and Sean McAuliffe and all those people as well for the ABC thing.
Yeah.
Name I've completely forgotten right now, but it's great.
The Friday Night Crack Up.
The Friday Night Crack Up. There it is. And it's going to be on telly as well. There you go.
Yeah. I think it's going to be kind of a telethon raising money and awareness for mental illness.
Thank you for the facts. But you can go to the ABC website right now if you want to donate or check in on all that mental ad stuff. Missy Higgins, thank you so much for coming in.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Have fun in Chatswood tonight. And then the Joan Sutherland Theatre in Penrith, Wollongong, Canberra, Wodonga, Geraldton, Perth, Bunbury, Mandurah, Darwin, Adelaide, Melbourne. And then you can relax.
That sounds tiring, just reading it out.
Can you relax then, or you got stuff to do after October finishes?
No, I do. At that stage, I'll be extremely whale-like. I'll be wanting to put my feet up.
You've got to do that. You got that to do.
I've just got this little thing to take care of.
Well, have fun. Have fun with your ukulele holder. And when it comes out, etc. Yeah, I'm great with all this pregnancy stuff. Have a good one.
It's the Doctor on Triple J.